Hi, my name is Katie McLean.
And I'm Jim Fleury.
And we're here to talk to you about the pedagogical resources on the Adaptation Today website. Adaptation Today seeks to provide pedagogical resources to encourage and support the study of adaptation, content like syllabi, assignments, and lesson plans. All submitted material will be peer-reviewed by the editors of Adaptation Today and open to moderated community feedback.
Each year we'll provide 3 review periods for pedagogical resources, all due on a rolling basis, with lesson plans due by January 31st, syllabi due by May 31st, and assignments due by September 30th, and blog posts on a monthly basis.
We hope you will consider submitting as well as reviewing these resources. Please see further details on the Adaptation Today website.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Adaptation Today, the holiday edition. Imagine that in like bright red font. As I'm sure that everyone has already experienced the holiday spirit, Rebecca and I and some of the other editors are chatting about our favorite holiday adaptations for this episode. I'm Gracie Bain, I guess I should say that. But we'll go ahead and take a second for everyone to introduce themselves, or I think for all of you, it's just reintroducing yourself to our audience.
Rebecca, you know me from other episodes. I'm Gracie's co-host, and I study a research master in arts, media, literary studies. And I'm very excited to be here today to talk about holiday adaptations with you all.
I'm Kristen, and I don't know, I'm the person who runs the website, I guess. I don't know, I do. I'm just around all the time.
My name's Katie McLean. I'm an assistant professor at Colorado Mesa University in American literature and adaptation studies. And I work with Jim, who's about to introduce himself on the pedagogy materials for the website.
Thank you so much, Katie. Yeah, so I'm Jim Fleury. I'm a senior lecturer of film and media studies at Washington University in St. Louis, and I am with Katie on the pedagogy team here. Happy to be here to talk about holiday adaptations.
Well, that's so lovely that we're all here together to talk about holiday adaptations in general. I was just wondering when we were thinking about this episode, we wanted to do something festive, of course. But of course, our audience might now wonder why would we even talk about holiday adaptations? Do you have any thoughts why these are important?
I think for me, this time of year, and I guess like all times of year, but particularly this time of year, is about traditions. So I always want to revisit like certain things that are going to make me feel all those positive, like warm, fuzzy feelings that I want to feel throughout winter, but especially around those holidays that I enjoy. So adaptations are exciting, I think, for that because they let you revisit those same stories, but in like new and exciting ways all the time.
I would also say that as a genre, these holiday movies tend to, I think they're becoming more prolific, right? If you look at all the streaming services that are doing them, Netflix, for instance, has made an entire group of films that are competing with Hallmark, for instance. And I think that there is a real push right now to produce these holiday movies, right? And they're becoming a lot more diverse in the holidays they cover and the characters they feature and the voices that they present. So I do think it's a really important genre to focus on. And the idea of adaptations within this genre, I think, is an incredibly important one, which speaks to Christian's point about traditions and kind of thinking about these movies as a comfort food, right? They're movies that people watch every year, it seems like. And of all the holidays, this is the time of year where holiday movies tend to be the most celebrated and the most watched.
Well, and working off what Jim's saying as well, I think holiday adaptations in particular are the ones that you revisit the most often. And so they start to have this cultural weight that some other adaptations can't quite achieve, right? The reason that we go back to certain stories is because we want to revisit them. We want to see how they've changed and evolved and how they've stayed the same. But we have a reason to always go back to these holiday ones every single year because it's that time to go revisit that kind of story. So even Kristen bringing up that idea of tradition made lights go off in my head because I'm having my students talk about T.S. Eliot and tradition and the individual talent. And sorry to bring up adaptation scholarship in this fun episode, but it does matter for how those things evolve and change, how you think about these narratives, how this maybe quote unquote dangerous word, but canon of holiday texts can kind of have this life of its own because we have this need to come back to these stories and this drive with the calendar itself.
I think there's definitely an element of nostalgia to it, as you sort of indicated, Kristen. But I think it's kind of funny when you were talking about Hallmark movies, I had to think about how a really good indicator of how popular these are becoming and kind of like the push that is also there from the film industry to produce these is social media, because you around the holidays, you always, well, I always get these reels on Instagram especially that are sort of like making fun of Hallmark movies, and they're like, oh, it's this time of the year again, here's your typical Hallmark movie, and they're just like making one up, sort of going by the formula. But I think the fact that this is like on social media at all is obviously like a reflection of how popular they're getting.
And the genre is even becoming revisionist at this point, where you're getting movies like Hot Frosty on Netflix that are, I think, pushing the genre into such absurd extremes that it's hard to look away when you're watching these. And there is a real, you know, speaking of traditions, there's a tradition of watching these films, both in terms of earnestness, but also in terms of campiness, right? Making fun of them in some ways. And so I think there maybe are new traditions being formed too, as more of these revisionist types of holiday films are coming out, like Hot Frosty, which I recommend, by the way.
Isn't there a Lindsay Lohan new holiday film that anyone know?
Oh, yeah. No, she's in quite a few of them. Yeah, she was in the... Yeah, she's done an entire group of movies now on Netflix where it's holiday-themed, romance comedy, rom-coms. Yeah, pretty fascinating.
I was going to say, I don't even know. I mean, I think, you know, like everyone said, holidays are kind of cultural texts that we can adapt and revise and things like that. But I was also thinking, I don't know that I seek them out. I think that they find me on social media or commercials on other shows that I'm watching. And so I think there's that too, is it's stories that we want to return to, but also stories that we're forced to return to, I think, because they're big money makers. Not to get pessimistic about it, but to kind of get pessimistic about it. So.
Yeah, and they're really cheap to make. I would say that's certainly part of it, right? There's a real formula to them. So the amount of time that goes into the development phase of these movies must be so small and so cheap compared to other genres, certainly.
I think, okay, so that kind of transitions us into what we're all waiting for. And I'm so fascinated to learn more about each of you through this question. But I mean, let's just start talking about our favorite adaptations. I guess I'll go first because I know that mine are, when I was thinking about them, I originally, since I and was trying to look up like 19th century adaptations and things that would make me sound very intelligent to our very intelligent audience. And I, the ones that have been most memorable to me are not those, or at least at this point in my mental health in the semester. So I would say my two favorites, so I've got a YouTube video, and then I've got a movie. So have y'all ever seen the 2013 epic rap battle between Donald Trump and Ebenezer Scrooge?
I love an epic rap battle, first of all.
They have a Jack the Ripper versus Hannibal Lecter one that's also quite fascinating. But I actually, that was a recent discovery, but I thought it was so hilarious. And so that I want to give a shout out to. But my actual real answer is the 2000 cinematic masterpiece, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, with Jim Carrey. And I that is a film that I rewatch often because I find the Grinch relatable in that. And it's also the costume that he wears is just uncanny enough to make me comfortable, but uncomfortable. So those are my kind of dumb favorites. Why don't y'all share yours?
Can I respond to just say for a moment how much I do love that Jim Carrey adaptation of How the Grinch Stole Christmas? It is such a good example of how like an adaptation can completely steamroll over like a source material and still be amazing, because it's just absolutely its own thing, totally its own thing, but somehow just really like campy and marvelous at the same time. So I just want to say, like, I completely forgot that that existed in the whole world. And that's a good catch. I love that one.
And it's interesting with The Grinch how there have been multiple generational adaptations, right? I mean, you're looking at the Boris Karloff one from the 60s, and then there's the Jim Carrey one in 2000, then more recently with the Benedict Cumberbatch one where it was completely computer animated. I'll be curious to see, in 10, 15, 20 years, which one will the current generation, right, of kids watch, right? I'm assuming they're going to be watching the Illumination one with Benedict Cumberbatch. But will they go back to the practical effects of Jim Carrey as the Grinch? And I was just seeing some article that Jim Carrey was giving an interview, I think, for the new Sonic movie, where he was saying he would come back to play the Grinch as well in a follow-up movie. So who knows if that could ever happen? But nonetheless, it's interesting that that movie, 24 years, almost 25 years later, still has a cultural awareness, I think, that has surpassed maybe the 60s one, but certainly the Benedict Cumberbatch one, at least at this current time.
And I just want to point out that no one is mentioning that the Broadway musical technically also exists. I love bringing up that there are musicals of everything. And so there is a Broadway musical version, and it had a controversial, is the nice word I'll use, performance on NBC as well, which did not go over well. But those are also present as part of kind of this cultural identity that the Grinch does have as through adaptation.
I feel like everyone is going to go and look this up after this episode.
I mean, there are quite a few holiday films have been adapted to Broadway, right? I mean, there's Elf the musical as well, and Grinch. Yes, I mean, there is this new tradition, right? Because, growing up in upstate New York, Broadway always reminded me of the holidays. And so there's something I think that people, when they're traveling to New York during the holidays, having these holiday themed musicals, I think, is really appealing. And I was wondering if that's anyone else's, feelings as well, what they associate with the holidays.
Yeah, a lot of Christmas music also comes from these Christmas stories. And so the positive associations come through that way as well. So I know another one that ends up on Broadway and has toured a lot is White Christmas, as like a kind of quintessential American Christmas story that then has proceeded throughout the decades to maintain its relevance, mostly through the one song, to be clear, but it does still have that kind of staying power, that we see with these interesting stories and the ways they get adapted.
I think from like the perspective of someone who's obviously not living in America, there's also this association of New York in particular with Christmas. And so this by extension, then the association of Broadway and Broadway musicals with Christmas is I think something that perhaps also comes from there.
I think I might have a good transition here into talking about my adaptations. So The Nutcracker was the first one that I thought of when I thought about holiday adaptations. I don't know if anybody who's ever met me in person would know this, but I did ballet. I was forced to do ballet from the years of like 5 to 15. So I've done a lot of Nutcrackers. And I think I play like a good 70% of the parts, none of the important ones, thank goodness. But yeah, like that was a big part of my childhood, and I love to this day like the music, and like I love watching a filmed version. I love going to see it in person. That just like this, that kind of aspect, the theatrical aspect of it, really feels like the holidays or the season to me.
Can I just bring up the, have you ever seen the, speaking of adaptations, but the Barbie Nutcracker?
I was just thinking about that. Oh my God, I was about, when you chimed in, I was about to like speak up and say, oh, you know, like my association with the Nutcracker is the Barbie version. I used to watch that religiously as a child.
It was literally VHS, right? Because so growing up in the South, right? I'm obviously, spoiler alert, but we have musicals in the South too. I didn't go see the Nutcracker, right? I watched the Barbie Nutcracker on VHS every year. And so I just wanted to just throw that out there as a thing that exists. That's good.
Especially because people who would like watch Barbie now don't really, I feel like there's not enough appreciation for Barbie the Nutcracker. We need to bring it back. If you're listening to this, go and watch it.
Yeah, it's really great. There's also a really horrific Macaulay Culkin adaptation that is troublesome to watch. but is very fun. And I can't get enough of it. Like, I'll watch a bad adaptation of it. I'll watch a, you know, like they're all good in my eyes. They're just all like that nostalgia is really instant. And then the next adaptations I wanted to talk about, and I'm very curious to see what you guys think about this, are adaptations that have nothing to do with the holidays at all. So I just saw Die Hard for the first time. Don't judge me. I just saw it. And I do agree. It feels very, there is something very Christmassy about it. I also always religiously watch Lord of the Rings every single year at this time of year. And there was also a Hawkeye adaptation while y'all were talking about New York that like popped into my head, that TV show just takes place just like in the lead up to Christmas and is, I think it Rockefeller Center might even be in, yeah, last episode. So it's, I'm kind of interested to see what people think about like holiday adaptations that have like zero to do with like the season or the holiday or anything like that.
And just because I apparently can't help myself with the Broadway references at this point, fun thing from Hawkeye is that there's Rogers the Musical in the middle of it, which is all the Avengers in a musical about Steve Rogers, which eventually was so popular that they put it on performances at Disneyland. So all these things just have like all these adaptations coming out of them and all these different points of outreach.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the release schedules of these productions, whether it's movies or TV series. Like in the case of Hawkeye coming out in the in December, I think it was like, what, 2022, 2021. And then there was, in the case of Die Hard, I think that was a July release, which is bizarre, but I'm pretty sure Die Hard 2 would have come out in November, December of 1990. But a lot of these these genre films that are adapting holiday iconography or holiday themes, right? Like they are still, they're still holiday movies, I think, in a lot of ways, right? It's not just Die Hard in the action film genre, but also like Violent Night as well is also part of that with David Harbour as like a badass Santa. But then there's also horror movies like Gremlins or Krampus. And this is part of a much longer tradition of genre films that are using holiday iconography and themes. Classical Hollywood musicals like Meet Me in St. Louis or Holiday Inn. Slasher movies like Black Christmas. I mean, there is this longer tradition of movies that do this, but it's interesting. Are these holiday films? And of course, that's the debate that always comes up with Die Hard, but I think that can be extended to many other types of genre films as well.
I definitely think, kind of latching onto what Jim said, that it's also about when you watched it for the first time. So perhaps not even about when it was released, but if it's something that you watched often around Christmas, then automatically you kind of associate it with this, right? This is about traditions then again, but personal traditions, I suppose.
Right. It used to be, whether it was on home video or whether it was being pushed to you on cable, like free here in the US, like on Freeform, for instance, pushing, you know, they have like multiple weeks of holiday programming. We're just inundated with it. But nowadays, with fewer people having cable subscriptions, it's pushed a lot on, going back to the previous point about social media, to go, and then also on streaming services like Netflix is going to have an entire selection of films that are holiday themed, right? So it's algorithmic pushing now, but it used to be that it was on TV or used to be in people's home video collections where family would come over for the holidays and say, oh, let's watch, you know, Christmas Vacation or Die Hard or something.
Yeah, the 25 Days of Christmas is what was on ABC Family or Freeform, and it's just every day, what new Christmas movie would you like to watch for the day?
And I love this discourse. Like, I just love the discourse around, you know, is it a Christmas movie? Is it a holiday movie? Is it not? I feel like we are very coming at it from an adaptation studies point of view, so we're able to be very analytical about it. But the discourse is more divided in some places, and it's really interesting to kind of get your perspectives on it. The last thing on my list, I swear this is the last thing, is anything related to A Christmas Carol, and I have a feeling that that's going to be a good transition to other people's favorites. I will literally watch any adaptation of A Christmas Carol. And my favorite one is probably Aside from A Muppet Christmas Carol, is probably the Doctor Who adaptations. There's two of them. There's one where Charles Dickens is kind of running around getting haunted, and then there's another one that's just like a straight up Christmas Carol adaptation. And I love both of those.
The Doctor Who one is really good. I enjoyed that as well.
Doctor Who just has a wonderful, fun history of holiday and Christmas type stories that also are something families can kind of come back to and build off of. I will absolutely jump in and say that my favorite Christmas adaptation is Muppet's Christmas Carol. There are other movies I watch with my family, and I don't necessarily think of them as much as adaptations because I have such a long history back of just thinking of the way they are. I will fully admit to that, but I always knew Muppets was perfect as the adaptation it was. The songs are lovely. The idea of just Kermit the Frog ice skating as he sings about how Christmas is coming, perfect. What do I need to change? Nothing. That frog does everything he needs to do. And for once, Miss Piggy isn't somehow becoming villainous or doing something she shouldn't. She's just being his wife and trying to get them through Christmas. Poor soul that she is. So I absolutely love that particular adaptation, but it is a very fun adaptation. I recommend it to anyone who has not seen it before, even if you've seen other versions of Christmas Carol. It's very fantastic.
It's like truly perfect. Like every song is just like amazing, perfect. Like the vibes are just so Christmassy, so good, so wholesome. Like, I think it truly is the best adaptation of A Christmas Carol. Very truly.
Oh, and it also has that nice meme quality where people can reshare it in that form too. So I definitely have received and sent before the little moment of Kermit looking at the sky and singing "One More Sleep Till Christmas." And it's like, yes, exactly. I must send this on Christmas Eve every year because it's part of this, to use that word again, tradition that we kind of come back to. But it's also kind of adapting the way that I engage with the story itself, seeing the more positive versions of those moments, even when there's a lot of negative stuff also kind of mixed into that particular adaptation. Scary things that are included as well with the ghost of Christmas future, as he should be, just different elements like that.
I was debating on saying this during the episode, but yeah, as someone that hasn't seen that adaptation, because my mother thought it would be too scary for me, it does still, even as an adult, look kind of scary to me. But I think, you know, the Muppets are just kind of scary anyway. But I remember the first time I read A Christmas Carol, and when the door knocker turns into the face, like, I remember being like, that's actually like legitimately creepy. So it's interesting. And Jim, you mentioned like Krampus and other kind of like horror films too, and so, but y'all are all convincing me. I will watch it. I'll do it.
You should. You really should. You ought to. It's so good. It's not that creepy. It's not that creepy. And I have no tolerance for creep.
Maybe like, what we should tolerance. Do is like a, with all the ample time that everyone has, but like a watch party, is we just watch it and then recap it as an episode.
Maybe that's next year's holiday episode.
I am on board with this. It's been a while since I've watched it, so I'd be here for that.
I will also say that I think it brings up an interesting point about how often Christmas stories are supposed to be heartwarming and make you feel good, but also a lot of them are supposed to scare you into being a better person, which is very true of Christmas Carol. There's this moral quality to all of these stories that are like trying to encourage you to recognize that something needs to change. And that you should find a new path in life. And the horror movies do that to some degree as well. But it's interesting to definitely see that consistent thread in something like A Christmas Carol.
And I want to reiterate Katie's point about Muppet Christmas Carol. I think it is a really fantastic adaptation. And it's really worth watching in comparison to the other Muppet adaptation films that came out in the 90s and 2000s, where Treasure Island was a really strange one as well that got adapted into a Muppet version. There's a Wizard of Oz version. So there's some pretty fascinating material there to mine for someone. But then I also think of other adaptations of Christmas Carol that are unconventional, like the Bill Murray movie Scrooged is another quite good one that is also quite scary as well. But in terms of my favorite adaptations, one that hasn't been mentioned yet are these the trend of sequels adopting holiday iconography as a form of product differentiation, where it's all about, the same but different. And the difference in this case is the holiday setting. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation being the third part in that film franchise. Batman Returns from 1992 is a sequel to the 89 film, but with the Christmas setting. But then also something more recent like Iron Man 3, which, yeah, it's part of this larger trend within director Shane Black's filmography of movies set during the holidays. But at the same time, it is nonetheless following that tradition as well, that larger tradition of franchise films using holiday settings as a form of product differentiation. So there's a lot of different types of holiday adaptations that can be explored. The literal adaptations of literary works, there's the genre films that adapt holiday narratives and themes, but then also franchise films that use holiday settings as a form of product differentiation.
And I think like tying into that like idea is also just the idea of the Christmas episode or the holiday episode of like a television show, which is so ubiquitous in most sitcoms, particularly. I think that's a really wonderful point.
Shout out to the holiday armadillo in that particular conversation from Friends.
Yeah, if you make a holiday episode, if you make a holiday movie or a holiday song, you are set for life with royalty payments. I mean, that is the secret to success. You just make a holiday piece of media and you're good. So this is, yeah, a big reason why I think someone you're seeing so much of this across different media.
Yeah, funnily enough, this kind of transitions into my adaptation, which is only a holiday adaptation, more or less by accident and by setting. So I don't know if you're familiar with this, Three Wishes for Cinderella. It's a very German movie to watch around the holidays. So it's as the name indicates, it's a version of Cinderella. But it's based not only on like the traditional Brothers Grimm Cinderella version, but also on a Czech version of this. And the production was a cooperation between a German production company and a Czech production company. So that's why it's really popular both here. Well, why it's very popular in Germany, and it's kind of a cult classic of German holiday movies. Even though it's not strictly only German, but it's a lot more feministic than the traditional Cinderella story, because the Cinderella figure of this kind of tricks the prince a little, and she's making like a little fun of him, and she's a lot more independent. But funnily enough, the only reason this is really a holiday movie is because it's set during wintertime, so it has all of these really beautiful shots of snowy landscapes. They're riding on like white horses and like historical. I don't think they're historically accurate, but sort of in like fairy tale historical costumes. They're riding like through the snow. But originally, the movie was supposed to be filmed during summer. And apparently, I didn't know this because I'm not a film scholar or practitioner, but apparently, it's more expensive to film during summer. So then they didn't have enough budget for this, so they had to reschedule and film it during winter. And all of the costumes were already made for summer, so all of the actors were freezing because the costume designer was like, "I'm not changing anything. You're just gonna like have to deal with like the snow that you're in like thigh deep in your summer outfits." So we watched it around Christmas time, but if you've seen it, it's not. This is like pure accident that it has become such a Christmas holiday classic, but it is a very, very good movie. If you haven't seen it, I recommend watching it.
See, I think like there's a tipping point. Like if there's like enough snow in a movie, like it has to become like a holiday classic. It just has to, right?
I will say it looks very magical because it is a fairy tale adaptation. So of course there's sort of an atmosphere already, and then you get this beautiful landscape and like castles with a lot of snow. So I see why people immediately associate it with the holidays. It doesn't even say anywhere though that it's like around Christmas time or anything. So there's like no direct reference. It really is a seasonal thing. So I think you might be onto something, Kristen. If there's enough snow, then it's a holiday movie for sure.
I do love how international all of our discussions always are, and I appreciate the ways we're seeing all these different adaptations come together. And I just want to mention, I have a colleague who is going back home to where it's going to be summer for Christmas, and how much that has influenced her understanding of seeing some of these films, but then also interpreting it for herself. So it also is, again, those kind of interesting cultural influences and expectations, and the way we see those stories kind of traveling around the world and how that matters as well, I think really is always a fun thing to see through our discussions on these different adaptations.
What a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I agree. Because just because I, for example, associate Christmas with snow doesn't mean everyone does, of course. So yeah, that's a good point to make. Well, I think we've given a lot of really good movie tips to our audience. I hope this is our holiday gift to you, that you now know what to watch over the vacations that you hopefully have. But of course, you will hear from us in the new year. We hope you'll get into it well. And we will see you in January with a new episode. But until then, you can keep up with Adaptation Today by visiting our website, adaptationtoday.com. You can join our listserv, where you can stay up to date on all the news in the field, or follow us on Instagram, Threads, or Blue Sky. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, and we'll be back next month to speak to you about all things adaptation. And we wish you happy holidays. We'll be right back.